Beloved radio friends, we give you a sincere and an earnest welcome to the broadcast of the great and glorious gospel. The good news concerning a Savior, the one who is Christ, the Lord. We are seeking to prayerfully meditate upon 22 words that are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 28. These words were spoken by the Savior himself at the close of his last discourse with his disciples in the upper room. Near the close of his earthly life, he imparted to his disciples, very briefly but so completely, his own personal history. We may call it the history of the Christ, the Son of God. We read his words saying, "I came forth from the Father. I am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." Now let me, without any apology, repeat that in this one verse we have four sections concerning the history of our blessed Lord. First, as we saw in our preceding message, we learned of his pre-existence, even before the world was, when he declared, "I came forth from the Father." My beloved, before Bethlehem's heralded event by the angels, Christ, the eternal Son of God, was with the Father in heavenly glory above. He was co-equal, he was co-eternal, and a definite eternal person, and also very God himself. Surely the Word of God verifies the pre-existence of our beloved Savior, and coming from the Father's heart, he came to the earth for your redemption and for mine. Now we would consider the second declaration the Lord Jesus made in our verse, saying, "I am come into the world." I am come into the world. Without any hesitation, we may realize and can that the Son of God is referring to his incarnation. For we know how he came into this world. He came by the virgin birth of Mary. Now let us be very careful to hold on to the truth of his pre-existence. For when he was born in Bethlehem, that blessed babe in the manger was just as much God as when he was in the Father's presence in heaven before. Let us not miss the truth. Who it was who came to the earth. He made a journey, my friend, the greatest missionary journey that could ever be known, from heaven to the earth. And you and I could never compute astronomically the distance between the two places. And we quote the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, which reminds us, Christ Jesus came into the world. And he added those words, why he came? To save sinners. My beloved, as we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus, let us realize from where he came from, and whence he came, and who he was, as well as for the purpose for which he was born. But my beloved friend, may I bring before your heart and your mind that in the Old Testament there were prophecies given telling us who would be born at Bethlehem. I commend the reading of Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Read it for yourself. In the context, chapter 9 of Isaiah 6 and 7. And the Old Testament scripture not only foretold who was to be born, but the Old Testament told how he was to be born. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, by virgin birth. And in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it is possible to tell when he was to be born. Now let me repeat it. The scriptures of the Old Testament tell who was to be born, how he was to be born, when he would be born. Then may I go even further. The Old Testament scripture of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us even where he was to be born. My beloved, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was foretold. How he was to be born, who he was that would be born, when he would be born, where the birth would take place. My beloved, what tremendous truth. But we have to confess how sorrowful that when he arrived, his people had no room for him, not even in the inn. Sad is the commentary, but true. But may I raise the question, my beloved friend? Have you made room for him in your heart? For we have before us his incarnation, his earthly life. I am come into the world. Was it not different from the manger to the cross than your life and mine, his earthly life? My beloved, his earthly life has been different from all others that ever lived upon the earth. He was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, separate from all sinners according to the word of God. And at his conception, Gabriel the angel said to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Oh, my beloved, may I say, that blessed babe was as holy at his birth as when he was in the Father's bosom in heaven above. He was just as holy through all of his life, and also blessed be his name, as holy upon the cross when he died. For even the beloved Apostle Peter said of him, and wrote, he did no sin. Paul wrote and said, he knew no sin. John wrote, in him is no sin. And the Lord Jesus saying, I am come into the world. What words are these? For there never has been one, and there never will be such another like him who came to be born at Bethlehem and lived in this world. The impeccable, sinless Christ. Sinless, holy, pure, and spotless. My beloved, listen to the undeniable fact. Don't stop and linger at the birth of the babe at Bethlehem. Remember, he lived a life upon the earth for 30 and more years. But that life reveals Christ in all of his perfection, the perfect object of God's satisfaction from heaven above, the only perfect man who ever lived and walked upon the earth, perfect in his thoughts, perfect in his words, perfect in all of his deeds, perfect all the days of his life. They may be brief, but these words are sufficient to describe his incarnation and his impeccable life. We quote the words from John chapter 1 and verse 14. We must. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My beloved, did not the Father from above speak from heaven three times when he was upon the earth to say of his Son, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Let us emphasize the truths that we have considered from the first half of this text in John 16:28. Christ at his incarnation became at the same time very God and very man. My beloved, why did he come? You ask the reason why he should come, God himself manifest in the flesh? The answer is very simple, but it's true. For the joy is to know Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Please recognize the one who came was the Son of God, Christ Jesus. Acknowledge where he came. He came into the world, a place of sin and darkness, filled with sinners, black, yellow, red, and white. There may be all kinds of them. But be very sure you know why he came. Drink it in. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I dare you to find a man, woman, boy, and girl who is not a sinner. There may be degrees, and there are degrees of sinners. But everyone he came to save. But may I ask the question, my friend, has he saved you yet? Has he saved you yet? That is the question. Ask your own heart. Has he saved me yet? Let the question be asked in your heart. And ask the question from your heart, what must I do to be saved? And there's only one answer. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of your soul. And the Word of God declares, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt, what? Be saved. Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to save you. And when you consider his birth, my beloved friend, will you take in the truth? He was born as a babe in Bethlehem, that as a man he might go to the cross to save my soul. By his atoning sacrifice there. That is why he came. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that to every listening heart the Holy Spirit will rivet home the truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. We ask it for his glory. Amen.